Welcome, everybody. It is BMP Weekly episode 112. That's actually an emergency number in Finland, at least, not in the US. It is it says first of January, but I think it's first of Feb.
Someday. I think it someday is. March. It is March.
It's been
right?
A long year, Vesa.
Yeah.
It's 2021.
Good to know. It feels like it hasn't moved forward since March last year.
It is year 2021. Robots have taken over the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm trying to remember if I've seen you in person in Feb 2020.
I don't think so. But maybe we...
I think January 2020.
I think that's, that was probably...
You came back home. Your other home. Your work home.
Yes. Yes.
It's been too long.
You were now, at work.
Before we go there, it's just BMP Weekly where we talk about the latest on of Microsoft 365, what's happening within a week. And my name is Sasa Juvonen, I'm a program manager in OneDrive SharePoint Engineering site. With me as a co-host is Valdek. Quick intros for you as well.
Hi, everybody. My name is Valdek Mostegas. I am cloud developer, advocate at Microsoft for Microsoft 365. And today we have a guest from the US, Ed Everett. How are you doing, Ed?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show. Two of my favorite faces. I love getting to talk with you guys.
Thank you.
I talk with Vesa a bit more, but yeah, I love talking to you all.
We almost were unable to actually start the recording because there was so much to talk about with this group.
Yeah, because we look so often, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, yeah, this is like my fifth meeting today with Waldeck, or fourth, but whatever. So. Anyways, But now, Ed, can you do a quick intro? Who are you and what are you actually doing?
Yeah. So. What do I do here? Hi, my name is Ed Averett. I am the GPM for the extensibility team for OneDrive and SharePoint. So we focus on SPFX, near and dear to my heart, UX customization, what is our graph API story across OneDrive and SharePoint, and even getting into like how we do integrations with like biz apps, like Power Apps and Power Automate. So basically, soup to nuts, if you want to integrate with OneDrive or SharePoint, we care about it.
That is our team, indeed. And mm-hmm. And he is my manager, so Waldek.
Behave, Vesa.
One of my great many privileges. You know, one day I will write a memoir about the great challenges of my career, and you know.
Chapter one, Vesa.
Maybe 1 through 5.
Yeah,
I'm kidding.
Yes, it's a slightly different thing when there's 6,000 miles between us, right? So, so you don't have that closer control.
No. Control.
No, that's not how it works in Microsoft.
So it's like I, you know, my early morning coffee, like your late night. Well, sometimes coffee, sometimes. But we've managed to work it out well. It's definitely like I love how much we've actually pushed the boundary and like truly working remote. And I am like I'm bummed. I think it has been 13 months since we've seen each other IRL.
That's true. Yeah.
Which is like, actually every day, right? You wake up to like, okay, what has he done today? And he's like, yes, chill, Vesa.
No, I'm convinced Vesa has like three people working for him that are bots. That just like
he has a team. He has a team. Like absolutely.
Yeah,
he has been doing great stuff. Some say.
Yeah, there's a slightly confusing always that how many people are on which side. But actually, before we go to the technical side of things, so let's talk about the graph side. Let's talk about the business apps and SPFX and the future of that. But and let's talk about the remote work channel as well and the learnings related. And before we go there, can you talk about your background? So how did you end up in Microsoft?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I started in Microsoft around 2004. I have a degree in computer engineering and math and a little bit of minor in East Asian studies. I started my career in aerospace, working on building software for the Joint Strike Fighter. I got tired with aerospace. Does not like really cool sounding projects that just don't move as fast as I would like to move.
It didn't fly.
I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there.
No comment.
Yeah. But then around 2004, 2005, I came to Microsoft, and I started my career in the Windows shell as a PM there. And I always end up working on deep technical problems with some amount of user experience. So there, I was one of the people that rebuilt File Explorer, integrated search into Windows, spent a lot of time doing that. How we look at the new API surface for search, really basic things that we take for granted now, like word breakers and eye filters, inventing some of that, building new app models. That was a lot of fun, learned a ton, built a ton of experience building client-side code. Then I got a little bored, which I tend to get every 5 years or so. And I was like, I really want to work on services. And then I went to what was called, I think, Windows Live Services at the time. And I ran the analytics services for all our consumer offerings. So what was Hotmail at the time, soon to become Outlook.com. Scott, nope, can't say that. OneDrive.
Branded it. Mesh.
Mesh. Messenger, if you remember that.
Totally.
All these things. And, you know, it was really a great turning point of how we thought about analytics in the cloud. Then after doing that for a while, I have like a deep passion around like building large scalable systems. I came over to OneDrive, and I was kind of the guy who built Files on Demand and the new next gen sync client, heavily involved there. And after that, I was still, it was very like client-side sync technology, Windows. I wanted to get back to
After finally fixing the sync, then you decided to move forward, right? So
I'm bored now. It's fixed now. I'm bored. I want to do something else.
I like to think you want to leave any place better than you found it. And like sync has come a long way. Really happy with that. And then, you know, Vesa was telling me how broken it was over here in platform and really how he had been messing up. And he really needed help. And I came over to the platform side of SharePoint and OneDrive maybe almost 3 years ago.
So I have 2 years still. So
yeah. I don't know. I'm still there's a lot to do over here. It seems like there is no rest for the wicked in platform. I would say Vesa definitely educated me a lot, as did a lot of others. But that's how I got here. And I mean, kind of where one of the places I've helped focus the team, you should ask Vesa when I'm off the air, is like there's so much promise and capability in SharePoint and OneDrive. But a lot of times, Microsoft, we have the problem of just global massive funding. We're this big, big ship. And like, if we can just get a few things to work together and like actually generate joint wins, we can go so much faster. Yeah. So I was super happy to kind of help be like, hey, let's work more with Teams. Let's work more with Power Platform. How do we like leverage like medium-sized investment over here and over here and actually double our investment?
Yeah.
So that was pretty long-winded. How'd I do?
All good. All good. And we actually invested pretty decently. There was a big milestone, actually, internal milestone shared today, which is really good. So big numbers, which is good.
It happened on Friday. Vesa, luckily, I'm an early bird, and Vesa is usually up pretty late. So like 5:30 in the morning, I see Vesa posting news, and I'm like, yes, I'm the only one up in Redmond, but I really appreciate it. Yeah. More on that next week, when it won't be an internal milestone.
Yeah, at some point it will be shared. Anyway, so now coming back on, because we're relatively limited on the time frame, coming back on if we think about the 2020 and the remote work, I think this kind of interesting. You and me have been working remotely for how many years? Well, whenever you joined.
Yeah.
So, but is it different between other people? Any learnings from your side related on? It's obviously been a massive transition within the whole company and the team. Everybody transitioned to be remotely. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, and I would say massive change. And I mean, like, not to butter Vesa up, but one of the things you guys should know is like when we started this, I asked Vesa to present to the whole team of like, how do you remote work effectively? Because what you've been doing it for now 12 years? Is that about right?
No, actually less than that, but still. So yeah, I think eight overall or something. Yeah.
It's been a while. Lots of changes, I think, for me and the team. I mean, I like really common things I think we all learned about just teams fatigue of like, hey, how many hours a day can I sit in front of this webcam with my lovely blue light and just like watch your lips be like a quarter of a millisecond out of sync with sound?
Yeah.
I think that was a big adjustment of us having to segment our time of like, okay, meetings need to move down to either like 25 minutes or 45 minutes. The typical Microsoft like hour and 15 minute meeting, just like it just wasn't working. And then I'd say, you know, I think also like lots of adjustments for family. Again, Vaso's kind of the master of this, but like I have three little kids in school, and man, all of spring last year, I was a part-time first grade, third grade, and fourth grade teacher. Not my calling. I'm not good at it. I can know that. Probably better at fourth grade than first grade, but hey, learning. But I think a lot of it was, how do we shift to a more global time calendar? How to like really specifically block out our time? And then I think the other one we all just struggled with is we're all in this transition from really moving from like majority of work in email to majority of work in chat. I mean, like even though like we were a big user of Slack, you know, 3-4 years ago, I can say Slack, that's allowed. you know, we were really using it, and like we're one of the teams that switched over to Teams first and try it. But like having the pandemic hit, remote work hit, and then having Teams kind of this always on mentality, lots of learning, lots of switching. I think some of the things I have found most helpful for me is like all my like social media apps now have time limits on them. I'm really specific to set quiet hours on my phone, because if I didn't, I would have a Teams notification at least 20 hours a day. Those are a couple of things. How about you guys? Like, what have you all changed? I mean, well, like you took a new role during this time.
Yes, actually, yeah. So that is interesting.
You haven't met anybody, right?
I haven't met anybody from my new team in person. The interesting thing is, right, that I worked with the sub here in the Netherlands like a while back, so I know them. I haven't seen them in person since, because the office is closed. But the interesting thing is, like, I worked remotely for 5 years now or so. I met my previous team in person, and thinking back, like that was such a big factor in how you bond with others, right? Because like you were around them, you met in person, you had drinks, you had parties, and now I'm in this new team, and it's different, right? Because like one thing, time zones, like working asynchronously in a new team isn't easy. Right, because it's either late night for them, and our team works across three continents. Like we have people in Australia, US, both coasts, and in Europe. Right, so there is no like it's almost impossible to find a meeting time for the whole team, because it's middle in the night for somebody. Right, one, two, like working asynchronously, it takes time and effort and even skill. Like how can you avoid meetings of hour, half an hour, or more? Like basically when you start and finish the day, you hand off to someone else. Like how do you work that efficiently? Because like if you don't, well, the first thing that they do, they start is, hey, can I ask you a thing? But then you're gone already. Right? So like finding a way to do that, like that is still TBD, right? It is a journey. And then, as I said, like bonding, like how do you meld together as a team? That is a challenge. That remains a challenge.
Yeah. I'd say the idea of like a morale event, like you knew a few fun things, but especially I think one of the things that our VP Omar Shaheen, I think he's got a live blog on this coming out soon through Tiny Pulse and LinkedIn, is it's like we're all in a like somewhat diminished capacity right now. Like everybody's working, like you are either caregiving for a child, caregiving for a parent, everyone's life is different. And it like, you know, whether that's 5% or 40%, it, you know, it has a major shift on like how you act and when you can act, and like, ooh, combining that with that global wave of like, hey, like, you know, from Redmond to Finland to China to India development, like you can, like you can have somebody at their prime of their workday at any given hour of the day, which yeah. which definitely it takes some getting used to.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, maybe that's the one of the positive things on all of this, is that it's forcing the whole society and the industry to rethink the working yeah. roles and everything else. So it's, and yes, it's a shock for everybody that we need to go through all of this, and it's forcefully pushed on our direction. But it mm-hmm. but it seems to be, let's say, equalizing things across the companies, and people are thinking mm-hmm. more openly things. One of the things what I noticed is that when before the last March or February, March, it was always super weird, 25 people in the room, and then I'm the remote guy on the screen. And then, mm-hmm. and that's a pretty different way of yeah. doing work. And then, so, but nowadays people are being more open on working remotely, which is great as well. Mm-hmm. Now we are, because we are in time constraint, I wanted to actually ask the final, this is almost the final question, but software discussions are really good rather than the technology. Yeah. That's much more important. Now, Ed, because you're here and you're driving the OneDrive SharePoint platform, and it, you mentioned SharePoint framework, Power BI, Power Platform integration, and MacGraph APIs, the Teams integration, mm-hmm. all of that. Can you talk about within the upcoming five minutes related on the one, what are the areas where we're investing, and what are the things where people should be expecting to happen within 2021?
I think you will see 2021 be a culmination of a lot of ideas. I'd say starting about 18 months ago, you really saw us pushing heavily towards integrating cross verticals, be it Teams, be it Exchange, you know, be it even like OneNote and things like that. You're going to see us go further and further. And I think Vista has alluded to in other talks, we're going to have an update of SPFX coming out very shortly here. We will have a few more this year, but like, you're really going to see us double down on the idea of like SharePoint and OneDrive are both infrastructure and app platform that reach across all of M365. So again, it was a great start off in 2020 of integrating with Teams. We're only going to do more there. We're only going to make it easier and easier where it kind of blends what is the app host you're in and how you work. And it even goes like, you'll see upcoming things about like how we think about meetings app support, how we think about building for Teams application. One of my personal favorite that's been like a long time coming is for app development. You're going to see stuff on resource-based consent come out. So you can finally like if you've worked with Graph, I mean, like it was totally the right place to start a decade ago of like, have access to all your files or all your sites. But in the wake of SolarWinds, Cambridge Analytica, like name your favorite leaking scandal, like the idea of giving permissions, even if you built the app inside the company, to everything. Yeah. And like when it comes to it, your files and your sites and your lists are just about everything. Like you can throw email and chat in there too, but just finally getting to the point of allowing apps to be like, hey, I only need this one site or this one list or this folder. I actually think like it's a medium-sized feature, but it's going to have massive applications for the ecosystem, because really for me, for the ecosystem to thrive, we've got to get the right separation barriers to really unlock the entire size of ecosystems we have out there, because so many apps are built as point solutions for a specific group, a specific team, a specific business unit. And now we can start to marry that. I think it's going to be a really important update.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, not that I want to make sure that we get that one. Anything interesting on the Power Platform integration side? So not forgetting about that side of the house either.
There's always, people have seen hopefully a lot of updates about how we talk about Dataverse is upcoming. We've been alluding to, hey, wouldn't it be great if Power BI and Lyst work together? You saw from Chakradeep, who just released a blog on how to do rules and forms customization. I think you're going to see SharePoint sits in this great point of infrastructure where you have lists, files, and pages, which are so powerful. And we're looking at, like, how do we enable a set of simple things for IWs that are really point and click, get a notification, respond to a list update. And then how do you go to the other end with, I'd say, Power Automate and Power Apps of, like, hey, do you need a super performance, secure, and highly customized business logic? We'll give you both of those. And I think 2021 will be the year that we kind of get both of those sides off to a great start. I'm really excited about the rules stuff coming in, as well as form customization. I know there's a lot of people on this call that are really interested in going even further with forms customization. I bet Vesa was going to ask me. That's definitely a thing we're thinking about.
We are run out of time. Thank you.
Yeah. Look at the time. Oh, 11 o'clock. So for questions about that, ask Vesa. Definitely one we're thinking about. I really want to get the first payload of really IW features around lists and makers. And I think we're getting really close in this first quarter.
Excellent, excellent. And now, knowing the timing and everything else, thank you, Ed. You are pretty limited on your time availability as well. So thank you for volunteering on having a chat. For those who are more familiar with BNP Weekly, we always jump on articles after this, which we, by the way, recorded before this recording. So it might get strange, but anyway.
Working asynchronously.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I do want to say thank you to everybody who subscribes to this. I mean, PMP has been such an amazing engine for M365, like it is really the best in class way of building community, building open source, and just like driving product love. Like, I can rarely point to something that has done as well at generating interest and following, and honestly, usable code for partners and customers. Like, it's such a great program. Thanks to everybody watching. And to you,
thank you. But thank you, Ed, for joining. And thank you, Waldik. And we'll be back with the new BNP Weekly. I think we'll say that actually on the recording.
After the articles.
So let's jump on the, advertisement break, and we'll move into the article. So thank you. Cheers.
Cheers. See you all.
Oh, okay. So let's actually get to the article. So now that we had Ed's discussion, which is actually, this is super weird because we're recording this article before the Ed's discussion. But anyway, let's see what happens. But let's jump on the article. So we'll quickly go through the articles and close up this week's BNP Weekly. So what's new in Microsoft Teams, January 2021 edition? These are the really great some monthly summaries related on the roadmap updates and what's coming. And there's a lot of new stuff again on Microsoft Teams related on, for example, the chat moderation settings, allow meeting chats. That's actually really, really, really good. And I think there's still some, let's say, challenges related on chat every now and then, but having that option actually is really good. And there's the having more and more options here is really good. Now, session portal control certification, Logitech Rally Bar. It's a pretty big thingy, probably not for home usage. Just kidding. So,
I want it.
Yeah. But obviously for the conference devices, it's good to see that a lot of out-of-devices coming. I think sooner or later, we'll hopefully get back on the office, well, at least visiting office and doing meetings in the office as well. And this one was really cool, the video conferencing monitors by Dell. So basically having that one over there. And that's actually really cool. So, and devices, this one, really important thing from the last month. We covered that in the BNP Weekly already a week ago. But basically, Microsoft Teams UI Tick and Microsoft Teams UI Library. So controls, which help you to make the solutions more aligned with the Microsoft Teams look and feel. Teams stuff, a lot of other stuff here as well. A lot of other announcements and together mode and all of that. So really, really cool to get monthly summaries on that. Now, this one is really cool. We talked about this one before we actually started. So from Jeff Tepper, there's actually two blog posts on this one, one in here and one in the official Microsoft 365 blog, if I remember correctly, from Jared. But from Jeff, welcome to Work Lab, the site devoted to future work. And you were, quote, I'm going to quote you, you said, this is really, really cool.
Absolutely. So at Microsoft, we've done Now it's Sweden. It's cool. It sounds weird still.
How many months in?
So I've been around since October. Today is actually February 1. So it's October, November, December, January, 4 months. And it's still like, we at Microsoft, like, it sounds so weird.
Okay. It's okay. So I'm 15. I'm going to have 15-year anniversary this year. And I still feel that I can't believe that I'm actually working in Microsoft. So yeah. Go figure.
So it's we've done really a lot of research into modern way of work, like the way we work remotely now. What impact does it have on our well-being, disconnecting, and whatnot? And we basically share on the findings here, and also some tips, like how can you ease some of the stress and burden, and the way you can improve your well-being, mental health. So all of these tips are here shared for you, available for free, no paywalls, no anything, no logins, no forms, or not, just for you to use and basically improve the way you work. So this is really great resource for everybody who is basically everybody nowadays. Like, there is no exceptions. We're all in this together. So
yeah, absolutely. Great learnings. Absolutely. So have a look on this one. And I need to actually read some of this stuff as well. So really, really cool. And apparently stories related on other customers and companies as well, and how they're being adapting new ways of working. So really, really cool stuff. Now, what else do we have? The new Microsoft List Adaption Center. This one is really cool as well. The Microsoft Lists have got a lot of attention. So there's a lot of material helping on what is Microsoft Lists and how they actually work and what you can do with that. And so good set of videos, playbooks, daily in the life guidance, engaging organization, and how do you get to start using the Microsoft Lists, which work as an individual application inside of SharePoint or inside of Teams. It's really, really cool as well. Now, this one also from last week, built your personalized enterprise search experience with BMP Modern Search V4 solution. So really cool set of web parts coming from the community for the community. Community from that perspective, that it's an external people and also Microsoft people who are part of this team, Microsoft Search people building a cool set of web parts and how you can actually then use those to build your modern enterprise search center, because there isn't similar kind of web part, at least yet, available out of the box. Now, this one from the Craft team, Microsoft Craft Mail back bath request with Power Automate custom connectors. And this is really cool as well. So obviously, Power Automate, you can automate really easily stuff. And then this is really about how do you use the patching. That's the right way of saying that.
Yes.
Patching. So really, really cool stuff for sure. Now, this one, CLI, Microsoft 365 V3.5. You want to talk about this one, Waldeck?
Absolutely. So every month we release a new version of CLI where we bundle the things that we released along the month. And last month we released a great number of improvements and features, right? So like as we do every month, we have new commands for managing 365. But in this version, we also include a few things that are kind of different. So like the one is ability to create a new AAD app in single line of code, right? So whenever you build something on 365, the first thing is auth. You need to have auth. Yep. The way we do that on Azure, you have to have AAD app. And typically, like what you see now on the screen in a single line, you would need to have a whole script that goes through creating the app, setting the owners, granting permissions, resources, and whatnot, right? So we try to simplify it to a single line that you could type as opposed to having to build a complete script. So we see this as a great improvement. It's not a unique thing that only we offer, but it's our impression of that, like, how could we simplify that?
Yeah.
Right? And along these lines, we also implemented a new command that allows you to convert files to a PDF. Like, that's something that we hear time and again. You need files, whether docs or PowerPoints or Excel sheets that you need to have as PDF to share as an attachment or archive or whatnot, right? And like nowadays, you can do it in clients in Office, but in there, you have to do it file by file. You open a file, save as PDF. With that, you now have a command that allows you to, that you could implement as a batch. So you have a document library or folder with files in them, and then you can just convert all of them in single go using the Microsoft Graph and CLI. Yep. And then finally, the last one that I want to point out is the ability to send adaptive cards. Like in the past, we offered the ability to send email from CLI. So every single time you automate something, when something is wrong, something requires your attention, like you would send email to let people know that, hey, there is something for you to act upon. But that is email. And in email, you can't really do that much. So now we offer you also ability to send adaptive cards to teams, right? And with that, you will be able to have more structured, comprehensive overview of data, info, and also the ability to include all in there URL with an action, right? So you can point back to an original issue, to a message center announcement, or whatever you have directly from adaptive cards and from Teams. Their version also includes great number of improvements around performance, ease of use. So I would definitely encourage everybody to give it a try and tell us back what you think and if there's anything else on your mind that we miss or we could improve.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Really great release as well. Is this then the bigger brother on the...
It is an older one, for sure.
Now, there's a new version of PMP PowerShell, which is the GA version of PowerShell, core version of PMP PowerShell. And PMP PowerShell has existed, 6 years? Six, I think so, if I remember correctly. So, and it's been super widely used. So tens of thousands of tenants every single month are using it. So we will keep on, obviously, there's a super active community building stuff for it. And it's now in PowerShell 7, using then the .NET standard version of things. So it is actually cross-platform as well. As a consumer person on their scripts, you can easily decide, are you going to use the CLI or do you want to use PowerShell? It's a matter of preference, not they're not really competing as such. But of course, in general, there's always a competition ongoing. So, of course.
Shrug.
Yeah. But yeah, so the PMP PowerShell has existed for quite a few years, and there's already 530 commandlets available. And there's new stuff all the time available as well. Now, one of the things what I wanted to call out is that there is obviously the Microsoft Graph PowerShell SDK available, which is the most comprehensive module for managing different services in Microsoft 365, because we auto-generate the PowerShell SDK against the existing APIs. So that's why it has the surface of all of the Graph APIs. It's, however, slightly more, let's say, operational-based rather than scenario-based. So that's really the difference comparing these two modules. But again, PMP PowerShell has such an active usage and an active open-source community, so it's good to have that one out also in the modern PowerShell. Now, what else do we have? What's coming for Office add-ins in 2021? Not forgetting about Office add-ins for sure. It is a big extensibility platform in the Office desktop and Office web clients. And Tristan Davis lists that work in here. And there's a lot of cool stuff coming in 2021. And I like the format of this one. We will actually do a similar kind of things for the SharePoint platform at some point. So whenever we get a few announcements out pretty soon. So we can actually talk about things slightly more openly. But having this kind of a summary on explaining what's coming and what's going to happen is really, really cool. So people have then vision on knowing what are the areas where the investments are being done. And this one is from Office Add-ins community side of the house. So Office Add-ins development community December 2020 update. So calling out the contributors on Office Add-ins and the community side of that work. So Hiroshi and Martin. Within the past month. And then this one's really cool. So converting web parts to functional components, React took. So there's a tutorial video and there's a source code available. And this one actually is really, really, really great. So Robert is basically asking, how do you convert the existing React components and React web parts to use the React hooks? And it's actually the length of the video is absolutely brilliant. This is really good, super optimized, really well explained how to make these things happen. And outcome is basically the same outcome as you come with whatever we provide out of the box. Maybe we should actually update our React template to use hooks. Maybe. Let us know.
Absolutely. I would say yes, definitely. But then, like, yes. Yeah, let's hear that.
Yeah. Now, this one is really cool, related on upcoming announcements. So Rematch Employee Experience announcement coming up on later this week on Thursday, 7 a.m. Eastern time.
9 a.m. Eastern time.
Sorry, 9 a.m. Pacific. Eastern time, 7 a.m. No, it's 3 a.m. Pacific then, if it's Eastern 9. No, 6.
6 hours difference between PST and Eastern? No.
No, 3 hours, 6 a.m.
Gotcha. Yes, 6 a.m. You're right.
6 a.m.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, so this one is really cool. So Satya and Jared is going to announce something really, really cool here related on the Microsoft 365 platform. There's going to be extensibility, maybe thingies, all that stuff. Maybe I shouldn't actually talk about more than that. So.
Anyway, a very interesting announcement that you should definitely watch.
Absolutely, absolutely. So go and check it out. So really, really cool. Now, a few community articles from Jarpas Horst from Valo Intranet support the channel moderation in Microsoft Graph. So calling out the new API capabilities related on that. So you can actually do that in Graph, which is really, really cool. This one is really cool from Leon Armstrong, Live London Underground Line Status Solution Summary and Learnings from Converting to Azure Logic App. So basically, he implemented this super useful for his office related on the London tubes. So knowing which of the lines are actually working and which are not. And it's a public API. And then using an Azure function to actually get that information and then list formatting to actually present is it working or not. So really, really cool.
Nice.
And there's a demo reference and all of that and learnings. So, and then Wonder Laura had a good blog post related on SharePoint list rules. So implementing lists rules, and there's a new UX for actually implementing things. So you don't have to necessarily go to the Power Automate side of things, because that has obviously then a UX change, and this has a slightly different way of doing extensibility. And this is a way of doing rules and behaviors without flipping the whole form and replacing the form with the Power Automate. And this area is also getting a lot of investments more and more, the SharePoint list and the Microsoft list in general in the future. Now, this one is really cool from Sergey, different ways of consuming organizational data, SharePoint and Microsoft Graph API and other from SPFX web parts. Actually, it's released on Friday. So really walking through the different ways of getting the access token, using that, consuming that, and what are the different options and explaining how things work. So really, really cool reference blog post from him. This one is from SharePoint writer
Joseph Velaya.
Thank you. Export conversations from Microsoft Teams channel with CLI for Microsoft 365. So how do we export conversations from there? So really cool as well. So you can automate that stuff. And then a few articles from Recording 365. So Lorenz Trent, My Analytics plus Pomodoro, Microsoft 365 productivity. So really cool discussions related on this thing. So really, really cool. And then another one from Daniel Klein. So Microsoft Teams revisited in meeting experience discussions, or how does that actually in meeting experience actually work as well? So really cool as well. That's it for now. So let me actually start presenting. So we are recording this session before we do the recording with Ed, even though we put it that one in front. So we have no idea what we discussed with Ed. So, but it was a great discussion, wasn't it?
It was a great discussion. It was absolutely great to have Ed on the show. Absolutely. Yes. We learned a lot, right? So
yes, absolutely. Anything interesting for this week, so from your side?
Few things, right? So one is we have quite a few PRs open in CLI. One is really exciting, the ability to add new form of auth, which will allow us to support conditional access in AAD.
Cool.
Because currently based on what we have, we cannot do it. But then we have this new form of auth, which is really cool, that we'll be able to enable that. So that will be a big thing. So we will try to get that in as quickly as we can. We have new person to join our team at CLI. So that announcement is coming soon.
Always good. Growing the community and open source teams.
Absolutely. And also the cool thing is that person is not a member of PNP yet. He's also not an MVP, but it's just a person who stuck with us for a long time. So it's like, if we think about getting somebody on board, that person was a no-brainer to get him on board, basically because he's been around already. He's helped us already so much, right? That would be, like, say, the least we can do to get them involved even more. And then there are a few also things internally that we work together in our team around trying to help devs to learn building apps on 365. So I'm not sure there will be any announcement from our team this week, but we really hope that we will have something more to share soon. And then also, I'm really excited about the announcement coming out on Thursday and cannot wait until...
Yes.
Exactly. And I'm curious to hear what people will hear about it and actually when they learn more about what that means for their companies, their work, and so forth and so on. Yeah. And so I'm curious to learn more about that. So
yeah, absolutely. That's really, really interesting. So check it out Thursday at 9 a.m. Eastern time.
Eastern time, yeah.
Satya and Jared. Go and get that to your calendar. It is actually really, really cool. We can't talk about it too detailed at this moment. I'm focusing on SharePoint Framework 1.12 this week and then some adaption stuff. So we should actually do some finalization over there as well.
Any ETAs, anything you can share about
1.12? I think it's fair to say that it's going to go
on Wednesday or Thursday?
On February. I think that's this
in
month.
In February.
This
okay.
month.
In which year?
Promised.
Which
this
year?
Month.
February.
No. I think it's fair to say
February 21.
Yes. So that should be fine. So we're basically now doing the final testing and verification of verifying everything works, and then documentation and tutorials for creating Microsoft Teams meeting application with SPFX and all of that stuff is in 1.12. So really cool stuff as well.
Yeah, because like that is also an interesting thing to say, right? Like releasing a version is so much more than just shipping the code.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the classic learning of things. It's not about shipping. It's all about making people to actually use it.
Can you do like one paragraph summary of what are the different things you have to do as a part of a release?
One paragraph. Now, depends actually on the feature and it depends on our product. But obviously, the end-to-end quality testing, documentation, tutorials, videos. It depends on a feature, but there might be a experience reviews, which are internal reviews, basically double-checking that the quality is in the right level. And those are pretty brutal because if they're end-user-driven capabilities, quite a few times they need to be re-implemented. So whenever people actually get through, there are features which actually sneak through without those, and then usually that hurts. So
yeah.
But there's so many things. It's not about shipping stuff to the NPM, and then driving the usage is the key. So shipping something means that now it's available, but that doesn't mean that people are actually using it. And then you work with marketing, you work with community, open source, and all of that to educate people on the options which are available. And that's a really big piece on the success of any product. So
in other words, shipping the code is the easy part of it.
Kind of. That's the technical part of it. And quite often, from a developer perspective, it's completely fine to say that, well, that's my job. My job is to actually ship the code, which is true. And then developers should go and focus on the next version. But then we need to remember that we need additional set of people who make sure that whatever they're shipping will be available and usable for end users and for developers and whatever the feature is. So it's a big, big, big piece. And we've proven this so many times in the past. So it's not about shipping. It's actually gaining the usage. So.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, cool. Now, that's it for this one. We'll be back with the BMP Weekly in a week. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.